In a couple of hours, our time, there will be the closing ceremonies of the 33rd Olympics in Paris. Maybe some of you have been watching some of that coverage over the past 2 weeks. And these games will come to a close. Games that have actually been going on in Greece even before the time of Christ. Very ancient games. And by the time that the Apostle Paul came along, they had been around for hundreds of years. And the Holy Spirit chooses to use words that are familiar to these games to describe the Christian life, and that's what I want to talk about this morning. Let's talk a little bit about running the Christian race. The date of 776 BC is typically given as the beginning of the Greek Olympiad that was held every 4 years. There were some games going back before that time, but as they began to take place every 4 years around 776 BC, which is interesting because we study a lot about the divided kingdom and what is going on in Israel and Judah at that time. Just be thinking about what's going on in Athens about that time. Only men were permitted to participate. Women were not allowed to participate, and as I'm told, they were not even allowed to be spectators. There was only one female woman present, a high priestess of the goddess Demeter, and she blessed the games, but no women were present. They were held all the way up until the time of 394 AD, and they went out of play at that time, and they were brought back into modern times in Athens in 1894. And so now, every 4 years, we have the 33rd Olympiad. Paul was very well accustomed to these games, and he uses the language here in 1 Corinthians 9. I want to talk this morning about the Christian's race, and in particular how that it matches four different kinds of races that are run today. But before we do that, I want to just remind us of how many words there are in the New Testament that deal with this matter of the Olympic Games. First of all, number one, the word race is used here in our scripture reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. It's from a word that we have the English word stadium. It was run around in a stadium. It was about 600 Greek feet or 1/8 of a Roman mile. It was a stadium, and they would run a race there. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 12 verses 1 through 3, and we will be looking at most of these passages this morning later, uses the word race. He uses a different word, agon, an agony, a struggle, a contest. Paul also uses the word run here in the scripture reading. The word literally means to run like an athlete, to run with full effort, to run wide open, to exert oneself. Paul uses the word race course. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. Paul uses the word race course or race track. When Paul talked about his ministry in Christ, he wanted to fulfill his course. That is literally a race course. Acts 20 verse 24. But I hold not my life as any account as dear unto myself. Paul was not selfish, so that I might accomplish my course, a race course, and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32. The Hebrew writer actually uses the word athlete. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32. It gets translated conflict there in many of the versions, but it's actually the word athlete. Hebrews 10:32, but call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were enlightened, you endured a great conflict, an athlete of sufferings. We're going to see that this word athlete is also used by Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. Later in the lesson, he's going to use this word athlete. It gets translated conflict or compete or contend, but it's the Greek word for athlete. The word contend or strive is used in our scripture reading in 1 Corinthians 9. The word boxing is used in 1 Corinthians 9 in our scripture reading. Some of the early games involved boxing, wrestling, and running. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27 in our scripture reading. Paul says, lest I be disqualified. We're going to talk about that later in the lesson, how that one of the U.S. teams was disqualified in their running. They didn't follow the rules. Disqualified. He uses that term. You gotta follow the rules in the Christian race. The word wrestling is found one time in the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. This was two men on a wrestling mat, and when one pinned them down, they would hold them down by the neck. It was the Greco-Roman wrestling. It's used one time in the New Testament where Paul talks about that our wrestling is not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers. We're in a spiritual wrestling match. They still have Greco-Roman wrestling style to this day. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. Paul uses another word that comes from the Greek games, and that is the word goal. It literally means to look at. We get our word scope from this. Telescope, microscope, periscope, all those scope words. To look or to see or to keep your eye on the goal. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, I press on toward the goal. And then Paul uses another word, prize. That comes from the Greek games. I press on toward the goal unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We're going to close this morning with a song about heaven, and it opens up, if for the prize we have striven after our labors are o'er. Are we striving for that prize of heaven? Are we working at it? And then last of all, in our scripture reading in 1 Corinthians 9, Paul uses the word crown, which was given to the victor of the one who won the race. 11 words are found in the New Testament. There may be others. Those are some that I know of that are related to the Greek games. By the time of the New Testament, this was very familiar with many people and Christians, and the Holy Spirit uses these words to let Christians know that in your service to Christ, you're supposed to be doing these same kinds of things. And so that's what I want to look at this morning. Let's look at the Christian's race. And in particular, we're going to see how that it is like four different kinds of races. See if you can think of them before I mention them. But before we talk about these Christian races, I would suggest, first of all, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. We have to qualify. Can you imagine if I went to Paris the past 2 weeks and somehow I got into the stadium and somehow I got down there on the track? It would be hard to get past all of the event people that are guarding everything. But let's just assume for a minute that I got down there on the track. And maybe some of you saw that lady with the glasses and she had the hat. She was the one that went around enforcing the rules in Paris. She comes up to me and she says, what are you doing out here? Well, I'm going to run this race. What? Yeah, I'm just going to run with these people. You can't do that. You've got to qualify to run. You can't just walk out on the track and start running. You've got to qualify. And so before we talk about these races, let me just say that before the race, you've got to qualify. We have to be baptized into Christ. We have to be a new creature in Christ. We're not running the Christian race until we become a Christian. We're not headed to heaven until we become a Christian. And we need to think about that. This is the Christian's race. And I need to qualify. And the way I do that is, I'm baptized into Christ for the remission of my sins. And I need to be baptized into Christ for the remission of my sins. Nothing else matters. My education doesn't matter. My health and my youth and my education and all the things that are going on in my life, none of that matters if I'm going to be lost. Well, I got a job and I'm married and I've got kids or I'm young or I'm this. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. You've got to get on the racetrack. And turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. You've got to be on the right track. You've got to be on the narrow way that leads to eternal life. There's a lot of tracks. There's a lot of places where you can run. But when you're running in the Olympics, you don't just go somewhere and start running. You've got to be on the right track. And depending upon the race, you've got to be in the right lane. And Jesus says that there's a broad way that leads to destruction, and there's a narrow way that leads to eternal life. And I've got to be a Christian, and I've got to be on the right track. So I just wanted to say that before we get into these races this morning. I just wanted to say that if you're not out on the track, let me encourage you and let me help you to do that. Don't put that off. We don't know when the Lord is coming again. We don't know when we're going to die. Let's become a Christian and let's get on the right track. But this morning, I want to look at four different races that are mentioned in the New Testament. And I want to encourage us this morning that our life as a Christian is like these four races. And I want us to be encouraged to be running properly each and every day. First of all, the Christian's race is like a sprint. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. The 100 meter sprint or the 100 meter dash is for the men is over with in under 10 seconds. There is an aspect of our life, brethren, as a Christian, where we need to get out of the blocks and get running and get after it. We can't lollygag. We can't drag our feet. We can't just dawdle. You got to get out and get running and get going. I know of some who have actually been baptized into Christ and they don't get running. There have been those who have been baptized into Christ and immediately, almost immediately, they will not attend or they will not come to church or they will not do what they need to do. They don't even get out of the blocks. And if they do, they become sluggish. And that's the problem that the Hebrew writer is trying to address here in Hebrews chapter 6, that as we're running, we can't get sluggish. We can't get bogged down in the things of this life. And some of them were in danger of falling away from Christ. And so, and we desire that each one of you may show the same diligence unto the fullness of hope, even to the end, that you become not sluggish, but imitators of them that through faith and patience inherit the promises. This is the same word that he had used back in chapter 5 and verse 11, translated dull there. We've got to get off to a good start and we've got to keep running and we've got to keep going. And you've got to get after it. When you watch those men and women in the sprint, they get after it. They get after it. And it's all, much of it is won in the first few meters, the first few steps and the starting blocks. And they keep their head down and they're going after it and they give it their all. They don't lollygag. And brethren, when we become a Christian, we need to get after it. We don't have time in life to play around. There are serious things that we need to do. And what happens is we get out of the blocks and then immediately something comes up in our life that gets us distracted on this and on that, and we stop running. In fact, the parable of the sower speaks of this very thing. Turn with me to Luke chapter 8. The devil would be glad that you don't even get going. Or if you get going a little bit, that you quit pretty quickly. Jesus actually talks about this in Luke chapter 8. In Luke chapter 8, in verse 12, those by the wayside are they that have heard. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their heart that they may not believe and be saved. They don't even get started. And those on the rock are they who, when they have heard, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who for a while believe and in time of temptation fall away. They get going a little bit and then they quit. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. The Hebrew writer there says that when we're running, we've got to lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You've got to put aside, you've got to get rid of those things that are weighing you down. Even if we do find ourselves baptized into Christ, you've got to get out of the blocks and you've got to get going. And anything, some idea that we have, some temptation, some desire, whatever it is, we've got to shed all of that. We are to not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. And we've got to get out and get after it. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. It's not just running. It's not just aimlessly running around. The Christian race is not just sort of kind of like doing something each day. It's a specific goal. And look at what Paul said there in that scripture reading in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Know you not, and they did know this. This was common knowledge. The Olympic Games had been around for hundreds of years. This was common knowledge. Do you not know that they that run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? Even so run that you may attain. And every man that strives in the games exercises self-control in all things. Now they do it to receive a corruptible crown, but you an incorruptible. I therefore so run as not uncertainly, so fight I as not beating the air, but I buffet my body and bring it into bondage, lest by any means, after that I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected. Paul says in verse 26, I'm not just running aimlessly out there. When I get out of the blocks and I've been baptized into Christ, I got to stay focused on what I need to be as a Christian each and every day and each week. Some will be baptized, and pretty soon they won't attend. Or pretty soon they won't live the way they need to be living. While we're here in 1 Corinthians 9, I need to exercise self-control and discipline. I'm not going to run out of control. I'm going to run with control. I'm going to bring my life under the guidance of God's Word. And if there's something that I need to get out of my body and my mind, I'm going to do that so that I can run this sprint. In a sense, the Christian race is like a sprint, and I need to get out and get going. And once I get going, I don't need to stop. One other passage before we move on in Philippians chapter 2. Paul does not want to run in vain. He wants his work, Philippians 2:16, the work that he's been doing in preaching the gospel and bringing these people to become Christians in Philippi, holding forth the word of life, that's what these Christians should be doing. They're going to be without blemish in verse 15. And they're living in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation just like we are today, but they're going to live without blemish, spiritual blemish. They're seen as lights in the world. People are watching them and they are holding forth the word of life. Paul says, I'm doing all of this and you need to be doing all this that I may have whereof to glory in the day of Christ, the second coming, that I did not run in vain, neither labor in vain. We don't want all of this simply to be a just big waste of time. All the Bible study and all the preaching and all the obedience and the baptism, is it just going to be vain? Is it just going to be empty? Because we're not running right? Let's run so that the whole thing's not in vain. All the time that we've invested, all of the spiritual investments that we've made, make sure that our running is not in vain. Well, there's a second race in the New Testament that we need to be considering, and that is in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7, if you'll turn with me there. The Christian race is like the hurdles. In a typical hurdle race, there's going to be 10 hurdles that you have to jump over. Whether it's the men's 110-meter race or whatever the case might be, 400-meter hurdles, there's hurdles you have to jump over. The Christian life is the same. And we need to run in such a way that we cross over these hurdles. And this is the very problem that the Galatian brethren were having after Paul left Galatia. Some had come in and begun to teach a false teaching with regard to their salvation, that they had to go back to the law of Moses in order to be saved. And Paul says, you were running well. Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? There's going to be hurdles out there, and you're going to have to jump over them. And it could be the hurdles of false teaching, like here in Galatians. It could be the hurdles of error. It could be the hurdles of discouragement and disappointment. It could be the hurdles of old age. It could be the hurdles of the death of someone around us. It could be the hurdles of society, where there's all these things going on that are anti-God, anti-Christian, anti-Bible. Whatever it is. Could be friends. It could be co-workers. It could be family members. But you got to jump over those things and keep going. But somebody says, well, that's too hard. No, jump over them and keep going. And don't allow one to make you fall down and quit. And that happens from time to time. No matter how good the athlete is, you'll see from time to time they'll hit a hurdle. They'll fall down and they'll just have to drop out. Are you going to let the devil put up hurdles? The Christian race is like running the hurdles. There's going to be hurdles. Jesus said that in the Sermon on the Mount. That there's going to be persecution. Paul said, all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There's going to be hurdles. That's the nature of it. That's the point. And the devil would be glad for you to be hindered and just quit. And Paul said, no. Paul could have said, well, I'll tell you what, those Galatian brethren, chapter 3, verse 1, they're awfully foolish. Boy, they're foolish for believing that nonsense. I'm just going to let them go. I invested my time there in Acts 13 and 14, and they're foolish now for following this. He wrote them a letter. He doesn't want them to be lost. And he begs them to come back. And I don't want us to fall under the hurdles. You help me to cross them. I'll help you to cross them. Let's help one another, but we're not going to fall under the hurdles. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 4. Peter is encouraging brethren to come out of the world and not be like the world, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them into the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. We're not going to run with the world. That's not the race that we're going to be in. And if they think it's strange, fine. You keep living the Christian life. Well, they might name call, or they might say this, or they might just ignore all of that. We're not going to run with them on that track. We're not going to be on that worldly track. So whatever the devil throws up, any kind of hurdle, any kind of hardship, any kind of hindrance, you just simply jump over that and keep going. And you'll be rewarded for it. Have you ever known of any members of the church that you've heard about? Such and such hurdle did them in. And then they were done in by that hurdle, and brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, they were done in by that hurdle. Well, where are they now? Well, I don't know where brother so-and-so is now or sister so-and-so. It can happen. But it doesn't have to. And we can jump over those things and keep going. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. Let's look this morning at a third race that the Christian is running. Have you thought of the four races yet? The third race that I want to talk about this morning is that the Christian race is like the four-person relay. You can't be independent. You have to work with others on this Christian race to heaven. This is not a solo run. You have to work with others. And sometimes that is challenging and it takes some practice. Diotrephes was not on the four-person relay. He didn't want to work with other people. And some people are so independent and they don't follow God's word that I'm out here doing my own thing. I don't have to work with other brethren. But the very point, brethren, is that we are to be in a local church. And in a local church, that involves working with our brethren. Paul said that we are to be of the same mind and the same judgment. This is a four-person relay where you're working together as a team to get to heaven. And some people don't want to play by the rules. And some people, some brethren, don't want to work together with other brethren. And that's why you have in local churches what we call division. People don't want to run together and work together and play together. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, Paul writes, "If any man," the American Standard says, "contend in the games," this is the word athlete, "if any man be an athlete," literally, "he is not crowned, he's not rewarded, he's not given that gold medal, if you will, unless or except he have contended," here's your athlete word again, used as a verb, "lawfully." If you want to be an athlete, you need to athlete lawfully. You need to follow the rules. And all of these events, all of these sports have rules. They all have rules. Not just the races, but all of the events, all of the sports have rules. And that's what the Christian life is. And the rules, this is the rules manual. This is where the rules are. And that's why we need to read our Bible and follow it and obey it. We can't engage in this Christian race and just say anything we want and dress any way we want and act any way we want and go anywhere we want and put anything in our body we want and so forth. We have to contend lawfully. and there are rules. And we have to work together with our brethren. We need to know the rules and we need to run by them. Some of the races, the rule is you got to stay in your lane. And with regard to the four-person relay, and that's why the men were disqualified on Friday, between one of the legs, they did not pass off that baton within that proper zone. They passed off that baton outside that zone, and they were completely disqualified. Some of the fastest men in the world, gone, because we didn't follow the rules. You've got to work together. You've got to practice that thing so much that you're working together. What are some things? Well, communication. The runner coming up from behind yells out. There's some communication going on. There's timing that's going on. There's bodily movements that have to be just right to pass off that baton. And in a local church, brethren, we've got to work with our brethren. And that's what so many people don't want to do. Some brethren are good at certain kinds of races, but they don't want to do the four-person relay because that involves unity and working together. There are so many passages in the New Testament that talk about one another passages and be of the same mind and the same judgment and those kinds of things. Do you know what that is? That's you running with the rest of your brethren, but you got to work together to do that. And so, the person running up from behind, they can't be going too fast. And the person up front, he can't be going too slow. Or they run into each other. Or the person in the front can't take off too quick because this guy can't catch him. And then he slows down and then he runs into him. Maybe you saw some of that this past week, okay? What's going on? We're not working together. And how do you get two minds to become one mind? How do you do that? These are two different runners or four different runners. You got to be of one mind. How does that happen? Working together. Practice. And in the local church, brethren, that's exactly what is going on. If we don't, Paul says, you're going to be disqualified. So what does that mean? What does that mean on a practical basis? Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. We're all going to have to exercise some things. Yes, stand for truth. Stand for truth. But with regard to things like opinions and maybe somebody hurt me or this or that, Colossians 3:12, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving each other. If any man have a complaint against any, even as the Lord forgave you, so also do you. And above all things, put on love, which is the bond, unity, adhering together of perfectness. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be ye thankful. We're going to have to practice things like that. And we can work together. And then last of all, the Christian race is like a marathon. You can't quit early. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. The marathon, of course, is a very long race. There are aspects of the Christian life that are like a sprint. There are aspects of the Christian race that are like hurdles. There are aspects of the Christian life that's like a four-person relay, and there's aspects of the Christian race that's like a very long run. And we've got to run with patience, literally with steadfastness or endurance. This is the long one. And there's going to come up a lot of things in between the start and the finish line. A lot of things are going to come up. A lot of things. We cannot faint along the way. Galatians 6:9, Paul says, we will reap if we faint not. There's going to be a lot of things that come up on that long marathon. A lot of situations, a lot of trials and tribulations and problems. Issues. And unfortunately, because of the work that I do, my preaching brethren from time to time inform me of things that are going on in other states and in other churches, and it's a shame that preaching brethren have to go through a lot of hardships and problems, and a good friend of mine right now is experiencing that. But you got to keep going. You've got to run with steadfast endurance. And you've got to keep your eyes, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. You've got to stay focused. It's a long run. And in between there, and I cannot speak to this, Carlin could or Daniel could, but your feet are hurting, your joints are hurting, your muscles are hurting, your lungs are hurting. But you have to keep pushing yourself to keep going. And one thing that helps is to keep looking at Jesus. And we do that by reading our Bible. We constantly have to be looking ahead and keeping focused on that goal. He sat down at the right hand of God, and that's where we want to be too. So whatever comes up along the way, whatever comes up along the way, we are going to keep going. We're going to strive. We're going to put forth diligence and effort. Jesus said in Luke 13, 24, strive to enter in, strive to enter in. And then turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. We're going to run all the way and finish this long race. I appreciate the good brethren that are here, that I'm associated with here at Warfield Boulevard, especially my older brethren. They tell me that, they show me that you can keep running all the way to the end. They've got it in their mind that they're just going to run all the way to the end, and that's a good example for me. And Paul said, I'm already being offered and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I've finished the course. He's going to run all the way to the end. Look at what Paul went through. Look at all that Paul went through. We can't even begin to talk this morning about all that Paul went through. And he just put up with all of that and endured all of that and came through all of that. All different kinds of problems. Brethren, we need to have that same attitude. And he said, the crown of righteousness is not only laid up for me, but for all of them who have loved his appearing. Let's love Christ so much that we're not going to let anything stand in the way. And when the race is over with, that's when the crown is won. I'm told that in the days of some of the original Olympics, the crown was just a garland of leaves. But Paul talks about an incorruptible crown, a crown of righteousness that is given to all who cross that finish line. In the Olympics, an individual or a team goes for gold, silver, and bronze. There's no silver and bronze with regard to the judgment day. There's no second and third. We need to cross that line. In the Olympics, there's few winners and a lot of observers. But in the Christian life, there can be many winners. In the Olympics, the rewards are fleeting. You can't take your gold, silver, and bronze with you when you die, and when the earth and works are burned up, it's all going to be gone. But as a faithful Christian, we have eternal benefits that we take with us into the next life. So as we close this morning, let me just admonish you with regard to these four races. You only have one lifetime to run this race. Just one lifetime. Number one, you need to get started and get on the track and become a Christian and get off to a good start and keep running. And if I can help you to do that today, please let me help you. Number two, with regard to the hurdles, if you've been hindered in some way, get up. Get up and keep running. Number three, if you've stopped working together with your fellow runners in the relay, let's start working together with them. And whatever it takes for us here at Warfield Boulevard to run that race together, let's all run according to the rules. And let's all have one mind and one judgment and one spirit to be serving the Lord faithfully. And number four, with regard to that long distance marathon, if you've fallen out in some way or given up early, let me help you to start running again. Yes, the lungs hurt and the legs hurt and that kind of thing, but it's all worth it. We're going to sing about heaven here, home of the soul. If for the prize we have striven, let that be said of us this morning, that we're striving for that prize, and what a great thing that will be. If I can help you to run, to get back to running, or to keep running, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing, and let us help you do that.